There are so many hostile enemies of America that have nuclear capabilities. The first thing he does to break down order, to bring final destruction, is he brings chaos. This is all a prelude for the final destruction. Things will go from bad to worse. Men will become lovers of self rather than lovers of God. Nation will rise against nation. And since he uses these tools to bring man into the outer darkness, and that is exactly what's going to be happening.
Rabbi Kurt Schneider, it's great to have you back here on Charisma to share what God is speaking to you about 2025. But before we get into that, we talked last year about what God was saying for 2024. Mm-hmm. And one of the things you said was that about the spirit of evil manifesting through chaos. Right. And I believe we did see that this last year. And let's just kind of recap a little bit about that.
Yeah. Years ago, I've been saved, John, since 1978. I was supernaturally brought to faith, as many of our viewers know, in a vision of the night as a Jewish person. I knew nothing about Jesus. He was as far away to me as the man on the moon. But one hot August night in 1978, the Lord woke me from my sleep. My eyes were still closed, but I was aware that something was happening. And in that vision of the night, Jesus appeared on the cross. It was in color. I could see some people in the distance looking at him as he was being crucified. And then a ray of red light from the heavens, from straight above the blue sky, came down on Jesus's head. And when I saw that ray of red light, John, come down from the heavens on Jesus's head, I understood that that ray of light, that beam of light, was coming from God. And that I understood also that that person on the cross was Jesus. As an American, I knew enough to know that the person on the cross was Jesus, even though I knew nothing about him, didn't understand anything about sin or anything, but I knew that God had just shown me that Jesus was the way to him. Shortly after that experience in 1978, I had another encounter with the Spirit. And if anybody experienced what I am about to share with you, they would say the same exact thing that I'm going to say right now. What I saw that night, John, was above anything that my mind could have fabricated. In other words, I saw something that night shortly after my initial encounter with the Lord in 1978. I saw something that was beyond anything that the human mind could have fabricated. I literally saw into the spirit world. And I saw two spirits. I saw a spirit of white life. The spirit of white life was sealed. It was shaped like an egg. It appeared to be about 3 feet long and maybe about 1.5 feet high. Every part of it was pulsating with life. Every part of the sealed, self-contained spirit of white life that was shaped like an egg was in motion. It was continuously bubbling up, newness of life. It was everlasting life. I believe I saw God's uncreated life. I believe I saw the spirit that he gives each one of us that are born again of him. While all around this sealed and self-contained spirit of white life was darkness. Everywhere else was darkness. The spirit of life was sealed and self-contained, but all around that spirit of white life was darkness. On the outside of it, the darkness was alive. It wasn't just the absence of light, John. It was a living darkness. The interesting thing is the darkness moved in a completely different way than the spirit of life moved. And I could see the texture of the darkness. The texture of the darkness, the fabric of it, was completely different than the spirit of white life. The texture of the darkness was like a creepy, chaotic randomness. And all I can tell you is I saw into the spirit realm. I saw life. And I saw living darkness. I never forgot it. Shortly after I saw into the spirit world that night, I was watching something on television. I don't know what it was, but something bad was about to happen. I don't know if somebody was about to get attacked or what it was. All I know is that someone was about to get assaulted in some way. And as this assault was about to unfold on the television screen, some music started playing through the television set. And I realized, John, when I heard the music, that the music that was leading up to this fearful assault was a musical projection of that darkness that I saw in the spirit world. That it was actually that darkness that was put to the music. So the darkness can project itself into the earth, whether it's through music, through words, through actions, even as the spirit of life projects into the world through God's people and through God's hand in the world. Now, why am I saying this in connection to what I prophesied last year about 2025? The first thing that I noticed about the darkness when I saw the spirit of life surrounded by that spirit of darkness was the movement of the darkness, the fabric of it, was random chaos. The spirit of life had a grace to it. It was like supernatural, beautiful, graceful coordination. But the darkness that I saw surrounding it that was every place else, it was random chaos. And so I believe that Satan, who has come to steal and kill and destroy, the first thing he does to break down order, to bring final destruction, is he brings chaos. Because when you have chaos and you have no order, destruction shortly ensues. And so we are more and more seeing the fabric of society being torn down, particularly now through the breakthrough of AI. You know, last time when we had talked, we knew about AI, and I'm not a tech guy, so there's a lot of people there that were a lot more familiar with it than I was. I heard about it. I heard that it was coming. I knew it was out there, but I didn't have much personal experience with it. But all of a sudden, in this last year, since I prophesied in 2024, there's going to be an increase of chaos. All of a sudden, this year, I'm going on Google doing a search, and at the top of my Google search, oftentimes, I'm seeing AI overview. So now AI is breaking in commonplace. Here's the problem. AI, what an incredible tool. The problem is that Satan takes these advancements of mankind that seem like they're great tools at first, and we bite into them because they make life easier and they're more efficient and they could be used in a helpful way. But over time, what happens is he uses these tools to bring man into the outer darkness. And that is exactly what's going to be happening with AI. AI, although it's an incredible tool, is going to be used of the devil to create such misinformation that people won't know what is true and what's not true anymore. We're already experiencing that. But beyond that, as people are more and more connected to the internet and all the things that are coming to us through the internet, man is being drawn out of abiding in the seat of his own soul, which is where God fellowships with us at, and man is being brought out of that into that outer pseudo world of internet space. And as we move into that internet space, we're going to be captivated and overwhelmed by the darkness, filled with misinformation, being brought out of real relationship. And this is all a prelude for the final destruction that Satan is seeking to bring upon the world.
Wow. You know, I totally agree with what you're saying. I think right now we're in that that experimental spot where it can be used for good and it can be used for evil. But I think eventually it will do what you were saying. And I've heard a lot of people talk about how they project or they can foresee how this can be used as something that would be like leading to the mark of the beast, leading to the image of the beast, giving, you know, having voice and things like that. It is very imperative that the children of God, you and me and everybody watching this, have discernment for what is of the spirit and what is of the flesh or what is of the demonic spirit.
Absolutely. You know, there's a lot of things being stated out there, but I challenge any of our listeners right now to look this up for themselves. This is a fact. This isn't something that I pulled off some internet. You know, this is actual fact. It's written about in Steve Jobs' authorized autobiography. And the first Apple computer that basically made computers the possession of every man, you know, every man's computer. It wasn't just something in corporations anymore. Now, everybody was buying their own personal computer, which Apple was the pioneer in that. The first Apple computer that became the kind of launch pad for personal computers for humanity, it sold, John, and this is a fact. This is a fact. I challenge anyone to look it up for themselves. It sold for $666.66. I don't believe that was an accident. Steve Jobs speaks about that. Why did they sell it for $666? He had no idea it was connected to 666 in the book of Revelation. You think about it. He said it was just a business decision. $666. Now you think of the symbol of Apple computer, a bite out of an apple. What happened? Man took a bite out of the tree of knowledge. Of good and evil, he wanted to know everything and be like God. Okay, so it's all part of this quest for knowledge that we're getting through the internet. And now we've got all these devices. Think about it. The iPhone. What's the first letter there?
I. Yeah.
The iPad. all the other I devices. There's like five or six of them, I think. All these I, it all starts with I. You know, Satan said, I will ascend. I will exalt myself. I will do this. And I'm telling you, brother, I mean, the writing is on the wall. It's right in front of us, red, white, and blue. And yet we continue to go on like it was in the days of Noah when men were eating and drinking, completely oblivious to the fact that the flood was about to hit them.
Yeah. And as we're talking about this, I'm using an Apple computer. I believe you are as well. And we both have iPhones too. So we're not completely immune to this in ourselves. We need to use discernment about this. And but I do think it's kind of funny that, you know, how we're even talking right now is through that very technology that we need to be wary of.
Yeah. I mean, it's like you can't, like, thinking of AI. OK, so what are you going to do? Are you going to say, oh, I believe AI is going to be used to the devil, et cetera. So I'm not going to, you can't really get away from using AI because almost everything we do is coming to a place where it's going to be tied into the AI. So we can't get away from it. Just like you're saying, we're using our Apple computers right now. But what we need to do is have a boundary up in our life. And we need to ask ourselves, like, if you're a preacher, you know, don't go to AI to craft your sermons for you. You know, you need to be inspired by the word of the Lord. You need to be inspired by God. I'm not saying you can't use these things for helps, but I think a lot of people, they're just, it's kind of like people can't read maps anymore. We have to think for ourselves. If we're just relying on AI, it's going to captivate us in such a way that we're going to become passive. And rather than thinking for ourselves, somebody else is going to think for us. And you don't want somebody else thinking for you.
Yeah. And I know this is one of the things that you and I were just talking about, that, you know, where do we go in this conversation? We don't want somebody else thinking for us. We need to be searching the scriptures ourselves. And I think this ties into the unhealthy hunger for prophetic words.
You know, it's so true. I want to say, first of all, as somebody that does hear from the Lord at times, I mean, I came to the Lord supernaturally through a vision of the night. The Lord has spoken to me many times through visions of the night. I hear this voice of the Spirit at times. So I'm very open and very desirous for all the gifts of the Spirit. And I think that anyone that is not open to the gifts of the Spirit is really hurting themselves, because it's hard to be as aware of God as we want to be and He wants us to be if we're not open to the gifts of the Spirit. But unfortunately, I have seen there is such an unquenchable, insatiable desire amongst many of God's people for the next prophetic word, that it's like they're being led around by something that really it's not of the Lord. I mean, Jesus said to people that said, show us a sign. Jesus said it's an evil and perverse generation that seeks for a sign. In other words, we can't just be going from one YouTube video with the next, alert prophetic word for April. Alert prophetic word for May. And we go from one YouTube video to another YouTube video with the spectacular headlines of the next prophetic word. Meantime, 8 times out of 10, I don't know what the number is exactly, the prophetic words don't come to pass. They're not truly prophetic. And yet the prophets never take responsibility too many times for the false prophetic words that they've given that have never come to pass. They just keep moving on, giving the next prophetic word without missing a beat. And unfortunately, this grieves me so much that God's people, they just keep them listening to the same people that kept giving in the prophetic words that never happened. It's like, what is going on? The purpose of prophecy is to lead us to Jesus and to make sure that we're ready to meet Him. We can't be giving all our time and energy to watch the next YouTube prophetic word and then the next one without actually getting ready to meet the Lord, which happens by studying God's written word, living by it, crucifying the flesh, living by the Spirit, picking up our cross, living a life of obedience by the grace of the Spirit to the best of our ability, fighting the fight. This is a fight that we're in, and overcoming, growing in love, growing in truth, not just chasing around the next spectacular prophetic word. That is lunacy to me.
Yeah. I just want to be clear. We're not speaking against prophecy. We're not speaking against prophetic words, even prophetic word for the next year. Whenever God speaks prophetically, it's true. We're talking about the sensational, people that are being thrown around from every wind of doctrine, we can say that.
Well, yes, I think we need to, number one, recognize that we should, as God's people, have a standard. I mean, prophecy is, you know, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. These are the fivefold ministry offices that God builds the church with. But we need to be careful who we're listening to. And we test the prophets. The Bible says test the spirits. And so make sure that when you're digesting prophetic words, that the person or persons that you're listening to have somewhat of a track record where you can trust what they're saying. And then also recognize that we do see through a glass dimly now. Okay, so we have some room for, there's a margin of grace here, even in the Hebrew.
Not a margin of error, a margin of grace, yeah.
yeah. Even though in the Hebrew Bible, if a prophet spoke a false word, that was it. It was over. But I think that what's going on, John, here's the simple truth. You look at YouTube, okay? You look at the people that are putting out, and every week it's a new spectacular prophetic word. You look at the thumbnail of the YouTube. You look at the title of the YouTube. It's sensationalism. Like, it's, you better listen to this, you know, because this is going to, there's a major, major thing that's about to happen, and you need to know about it. And every week it's a new one. You look at those videos, and I don't know what the exact numbers are, but let's say in a week there's 400, 500,000, 600,000 views on it every single time one comes out. Then you compare that 500,000 spectacular new prophetic word video that comes out every week. Oftentimes those words don't come to pass. And you compare that to a simple Bible teacher that's truly teaching the Word of God line by line, precept upon precept. And you look at those YouTube videos, and there's like 2,000 views on those. And a lot of God's people that are chasing these spectacular prophetic videos week after week, they're not even reading God's word. I'm talking about the literal written word of God. There's an imbalance. And it's like a child that wants to just keep eating candy. And they don't want to eat their fruits, and they don't want to eat their vegetables. They just want to eat the candy. And we need to be aware of not being led by the spectacular, but we need to be focused on godly discipline and have a Bible reading a habit and discipline in our life where we're reading a portion of God's word every day and applying spiritual discipline and taking up the cross and living a life of obedience. This is how we get ready to meet Jesus, not just by running after the next prophetic word every week.
Yeah. We don't want to run after every prophetic word. We want to test those ones. And one of the ways that I look at this and test those prophetic words is, does this line up with what God has already spoken to me through his word and through the Spirit? Because prophecy that's out there and that's public, for the most part, should just confirm what God's already spoken to you. That for me is kind of like the first test, but you need to dig in deep and say, does this actually line up with the word of God, the written word of God? And, you know, there's a little bit of a room for interpretation, but there is the truth in there for sure.
For sure. And if you think about this, if you read the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament, how much does the New Testament actually talk about any particular world government leader? How much does the New Testament actually talk about any particular country? How much does the New Testament actually talk about politics? Very, very little. On the other hand, when Jesus stood before Pilate, he said, "My kingdom is not of this world." We need to recognize that a lot of the prophecy that people are following around is rooted in a very temporary sphere of life that isn't actually the eternal bigger picture. Governments come and go. Political leaders come and go. We should not be chasing that around as fiercely as many are. Those things are continually changing. What we do know is that the world is going to continue to break down. The New Testament is very clear about this, that darkness will increase, that things will go from bad to worse, that we need to get ready, that we need to prepare ourselves, that we need to study to show ourselves approved. But too many of God's people are following prophecies that are focused on the temporal rather than understanding that our kingdom is not of this world and living a life with the weight of eternity upon us.
Yeah. So, Rabbi, I kind of feel funny actually asking this next question, but what do you feel that God is saying for the year 2025?
Well, first of all, I want to say personally, I am hopeful. I want to say, despite everything I've said, I'm hopeful. I am hopeful with Donald Trump. I don't know what's going to happen. All I can, you know, I'm not prophesying anything, but I am hopeful. I'm thankful. It seems to me that he's grown a great deal in his wisdom, in his articulation, the way that he's handling himself, the people that he's putting around him as his cabinet members. So I am delighted with the results of the election. I'm delighted with the swing of politics right now. And I think it gives us an opportunity in the United States for self-correction. Will we reach the fullness of the potential that appears to be before us right now? Time will tell how things unfold. We're also in a very dangerous time right now. We're in a time that we've never faced before. We've never been in a time where there are so many hostile enemies of America that have nuclear capabilities, with alliances being formed by the United States' enemies to stand up to us militarily and to be able to try and rise up and say, we're not going to let you push us around. So we're living in a very dangerous time. So I am hopeful, I'm optimistic, but I also recognize that it's a very perilous time as well, and we don't quite know where it's going to go. We should pray for Donald Trump. I'm excited about what's going on, but we also need to recognize, regardless of what happens over the next 4 years, 8 years, 12 years, or whatever it is, we know that eventually what's going to happen is that Paul said, know this, in the last days, evil imposters will come. Things will go from bad to worse. Men will become lovers of self rather than lovers of God. Jesus said, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. And these words, nation and kingdom, they don't necessarily just have to do with a political, geographical location. It has to do with people's persuasion of mind, like what we're seeing in the States right now with the country divided in terms of what they think is a true vision for America, kingdom. One political camp sees this vision for America. Another political camp sees another vision for America, kingdom against kingdom. Jesus says all these things are going to happen, and they're going to increase like birth pangs. It's going to get worse. We all know the story. What's a birth pang? It's the beginning signs of someone about to give birth. The contractions start. Then they get more and more severe. They come more and more, you know, convulsing together. So we should just understand, with AI and so many other things we could talk about, this is not a time to fool around. It's not a time to just focus on looking for the next spectacular prophecy. It's a time to get seriously rooted in the Word of God. It's a time to separate ourselves from the world to be His witness. And it's a time, by the grace of God, to live righteously and to make a difference and to take a stand.
Yeah. You know, as you were talking about all this, I'm reminded of what you said at the beginning of this, of our conversation here, where you had this vision that God showed you, the spirit of goodness, and then with this white ball shaped like an egg, all encompassed in that, or encased in that, and then are surrounded by that was the chaos and the darkness. And we need to be focused and grounded in that good place and that goodness of God, so that the chaos around us in the world doesn't distract us and pull us away or pull us into that. If we are grounded in the Word of God, we're going to stay in that safe place. And I'm reminded at the beginning of creation, what does it say? That the Holy Spirit, the Spirit hovered over the waters, the Spirit hovered over the chaos that was underneath it. And that's where we need to rest and reside, despite what's going on in the world today.
Very, very well said. I'm thinking, John, shortly after I came to know the Lord, I had a strong encounter with the Father. I knew specifically that this was the Father. Again, it was in my sleep. It wasn't a vision. It wasn't a dream. I don't know what to call it. All I know is I never forgot it. But the Lord one night came to me. When I say came to me, I mean all of a sudden I was just in it. And there was like a river of fire. It was literally a river of fire flowing from the Father into my soul, then back to the Father. It was like circling. It was a river of fire. And inside the river of fire, the Father was speaking into my soul in fire. And He was saying to me, seize my word and don't let anything else in. Seize my word and don't let anything else in. Seize my word and don't let anything else in. Seize my word and don't let anything else in. And I was marked by that. But I was confused because I said, Lord, how do I seize your word? Like, how can I seize the entire Bible? How do I seize the entire Bible? I don't even know every scripture in the Bible. How do I seize that entire thing? So I was deeply confused. And I was troubled because I knew that the Father had spoken to me. So I said, Lord, what is your word? And what is the word I'm supposed to seize? Because I can't seize the entire Bible at one time. So then I thought, well, maybe it's the particular portions of the Bible that the Lord is highlighting to me at any specific season in my life. Like, for example, you're reading the word or you hear a sermon and there's a particular part of the Bible that the Holy Spirit is just putting weight on and anchoring your soul in. So we're supposed to really seize that the Father is speaking to us, that he's taking that logos and making it a rhema word to us, to seize that. And I think that's true, that we are supposed to do that when the Spirit is speaking to us about something. That's the word. The Spirit speaks the word. The word is the communication of God. We're to seize it. But then, John, the Lord even gave me further discernment, and he showed me that my word, seize my word, and don't let anything else in. It's the entire Bible. It's the portions of the scripture that the Spirit is highlighting to us. But beyond that, the word is the Spirit's communication. And a lot of times the Spirit is subtly communicating to us as sons and daughters, something that we're not necessarily hearing a verbal word on, but the Holy Spirit is just beginning to cause us to become aware of something in our life that he's wanting us to change, he's wanting us to move into, and we just sense it, and it grows over time, and we become more aware of what he's saying to us over time. And whatever that is that the Spirit is speaking to us, we have to seize it and not let anything else in. For example, in my life right now, I'm becoming more and more aware just of the impulses of my heart, of my disposition. Like if there's an impulse of anger that's arising because of impatience, I need to put that boundary up. I need to seize God's word of patience and long-suffering, and I need to resist that feeling of anger and impatience, not letting it in. So I seize God's word, patience and long-suffering, and I refuse to let in the spirit of stress and anxiety and animosity that I'm experiencing because I'm frustrated about something. So I'm seizing God's word, and I'm not letting in the darkness, that the projection of the darkness that would cause me to be selfish and impatient in.
Amen. Amen. Seizing that word of God is vitally important. We need to hold on to that. Don't let anything else in. I love that that's what God spoke to you in that encounter, that experience. I don't even know what else to describe it as, but I'm glad that you had the opportunity to have that and that you're able to share that with us. You know, Rabbi, as we're wrapping up here, would you just pray for everybody that is watching this, that they would have that discernment? Because there is a lot of prophetic words that are going out, and some of them are prophetic from the Lord, some of them are prophetic from the flesh, some of them are prophetic from the spirit of this world. Could you just speak specifically or pray specifically for the discernment, especially going into 2025?
Thank you, my friend. Well, I'm praying right now for everybody whose heart is open and hungry and humble and desires the Lord to do something in your life and heart right now as we move in particularly to this next season. So, Father, to every one of your beloved children that is humbly looking to you right now, Father, just wanting you to do in their lives whatever it is, Lord, that's pleasing to you, whatever you want to do. Father, we love you today. Thank you, Father, for loving us. And as we lift our hearts to you, we ask you, Abba Daddy, to circumcise our hearts. Father, circumcise our thoughts. Give us ears to hear. Help us to separate the voice of the enemy and of misinformation and the voice of confusion from your voice. Father, thank you that you're a God of order. And so, Father, we ask you to lead us in the steps of righteousness. God, that you'll help us to have discernment of heart, discernment of motives, discernment of thoughts. Jesus, you said that your sheep hear your voice, and a stranger's voice they will not follow. And you know that I've lifted this up to you many times myself, Lord. Help us to hear your voice more clearly and to shut the door to the voice of the enemy, and to not let any disinformation or dark spirit in. Jesus, we love you today. Strengthen us to seize your word, to love you, to obey you, and to not let anything else in. Help us, Jesus, to abide in you and walk in your steps. We ask you to root us and ground us in the Word of God.
Amen and amen. Rabbi Kurt Schneider, thank you so much for taking the time to share with what God has done in this last year that we talked about, and what we feel that God is preparing us for, and how we need to respond and react for what's coming ahead. And that discernment is very, very key. Rabbi, thank you so much for joining us today.
I love you, my friends. Great to be with you and all my friends at Charisma. I love you guys.